And it's another day of work for the New York grand jury deciding whether or not former President Trump should be charged with a crime for paying hush money to an adult film star in the days before the 2016 election. Yesterday, the head of the House Oversight Committee, Republican Representative James Comer, called the investigation a political stunt because it targets a candidate in the 2024 presidential race. On Saturday, at his first official campaign rally, Trump echoed that.
The weaponization of our justice system is not, as some have called it, a political spectacle. This is the central issue of our time.
Well, this investigation and the others looking at the former president's role in instigating the insurrection at the Capitol and the dozens of classified documents at his home in Florida have been intensely politicized. What does that mean for democracy? Let's back up with democracy expert Rachel Kleinfeld, a senior fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Hi, Rachel.
So glad to be here, Robin.
And just review for people, this investigation could lead to the first ever indictment of a former president. And we should say not for paying hush money. That's not illegal, but if campaign finance laws were violated. And with an indictment, Donald Trump would be squarely in the justice system that he has long been saying is corrupt, and his followers believe him. So your thoughts, first of all, on, you know, what this would mean if there's an indictment when it comes to your concern, which is democracy.
So first, I think he hasn't yet been indicted, but if he is, a former president is a normal citizen currently. That means he has to follow the law like everyone else, and he had to follow it previously. And while he might be the first president to be indicted, a lot of high-ranking politicians have been indicted over the years in America. You know, I'm sure many of your listeners will remember Governor Blagojevich in Illinois, who served 8 years in prison trying to sell Obama's vacated Senate seat, and under H.W., the treasurer of the U.S., pled guilty to tax invasion and obstruction of justice. You know, don't even get me started on the number of congresspeople who have been arrested and served years in prison for corruption and bribery and lewd conduct and so on. So, yes, it's the first president. This is not unprecedented. Our system can handle this.
Well, but as we heard Representative Comer say over the weekend, the problem for Republicans, what they say is the problem, is that this is not just a former president, it's a current candidate, and that this is putting a thumb on the scale. Your thoughts on that?
Now, that's true, and I think that does make it slightly different. We saw this in Brazil, where a presidential candidate, Lula, who had been a former president, was arrested for corruption while he was the front runner and pulled out of the race. And many people thought that that gave Bolsonaro, who won that election, an unfair advantage. It's not the best way to deal with someone who's a current candidate. On the other hand, I am sure that Trump, in announcing his candidacy, knew that that would make it harder to indict him for this exact reason. And you can't let people sort of game the system by making themselves candidates when they're trying to evade conviction. We're seeing that kind of behavior right now in Israel.
So it sounds as if I'm hearing you correctly, it sounds as if you're saying, and you tell me, that it's the healthiest thing for a democracy that if the district attorney in New York feels that an indictment is called for, that it's healthiest for a democracy that he follow that through. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
The healthiest thing for a democracy would be to have better politicians who are not under multiple criminal and civil cases, which, of course, Mr. Trump is. We really need in our democracy to look at who we're electing and why we can't get more better people to run. Certainly, we do have some excellent politicians, but if you look at Americans' views on politicians more generally, we expect them to behave badly. We expect them to not listen to us. That's not the way you should run a democracy. And I think instead of all the focus and attention on Trump and this indictment, will he or won't we need to look at the health of the system and what we need to do to get better people to feel comfortable running.
Well, I want to ask you more about that. But just to be clear, if you know, a DA anywhere feels that they have the evidence to serve an indictment, you know, we're hearing from Trump supporters that it's not healthy for a democracy to put this thumb on the scale to however you want to, you know, whatever word you want to use to show this kind of partisanship. They're calling it partisanship. You would say what to that if, in fact, someone feels that they have the evidence to go ahead with an indictment?
I would say that no one in America is above the law. And so if there is a crime that has been committed, then that crime needs to be prosecuted. Now, I think that the stronger case is the case in Georgia, and it would be best for a federal case to be brought about the insurrection. This is not, it's not healthy to capture a president who's committed multiple potential crimes on a very minor issue, especially a current candidate. It should be something really more substantive. But I also think that the press is at fault here for constantly following the story of indictment instead of the bigger issues that affect our democracy.
I give you that. And taking the bait, perhaps, from former President Trump, who announced out of thin air that he was going to be indicted. So, point made. But just continuing on that thinking, if prosecutors don't indict for fear of threatened riots, for instance, or because they're thinking, maybe this is we have everything ready to go, but maybe we shouldn't do this now because there's a better case against him somewhere else. In other words, if they allow some of those political questions to interfere and they don't indict for that reason, not because they don't have evidence, isn't democracy also weakened in that way?
Look, Trump's strategy, whenever he fades from public attention or other candidates get ahead, is for him to say something outlandish to grab attention. Mr. Trump's calls for protests have been mostly ignored. Mm. The demonstration that he called with young Republicans in Lower Manhattan, there were more journalists than protesters. Yeah. This is not a story. The story is, how did our democracy get here, and how can you as journalists help us get out of the situation that is not a good place to be, regardless of whether there's an indictment or not?
Well, help us with, again, what you say is the main problem, which is, how did we get here and how do we not be here? Because we are here. And if we listen to Trump supporters, which we do, they see the world through his eyes. They see that those who attacked the Capitol on January 6th were just like BLM, Black Lives Matter protesters who attacked buildings, even though we know that BLM protests were largely peaceful and that protesters were responding to a real murder of a black man that they saw on a videotape. Jan 6 protesters were responding to a lie about a stolen election. But there are Americans who see a warped reality. Here we
are.
That's
right. And we see this in every country with populist leadership, that they spread conspiracy theories, and that people who believe conspiracies and have low trust are more likely to follow them. And in every country where we've seen that, South Korea, Brazil, America, you have a hardcore of somewhere between 20 and 30% of that party that won't budge. And we have that in America too. But that means there's 70 to 80% that will budge. And those people are potentially supporting Nikki Haley or Tim Scott or DeSantis. And that's what requires coverage. You need to have more complex coverage of the Republican Party so that we can move past Trump.
Rachel, great point. But why should the media do, in some ways, what the Republican Party doesn't seem to want to do? We are not hearing from Republicans that
I'm Republicans should be... I'm not here to play whataboutism. Yeah. The media has a job in a democracy, and that job is to report the truth, complicate the narratives, show the different flavors of Republican. The party may or may not need to do it, but the journalistic ethic of reporting truth does require it.
Yeah, but how... Do you see any need, I should say, to maybe break this cycle within the GOP, where we're hearing so little condemnation from Republicans over calls for riots if former President Trump is indicted, for instance? How does that get broken?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's extremely dangerous in a democracy with only two major parties to have one party get taken over by an extremist fringe. And the MAGA Republicans are a fringe. They're not the majority of the Republican Party. So this is an intra-Republican fight. And as long as the journalists cover it as if all Republicans are the same, it will be very hard for a faction of Republicans who might stand for all sorts of conservative beliefs that aren't my beliefs, but who nevertheless do support democracy, to come to the fore, because they're not getting any airtime.
So, Rachel Kleinfeld, do you think the U.S. is on the same track as some of these other populist-led countries that you've studied? Do you think we're on that track now? And if so, is there something other than the role of the media that can change that track? Or do you think we're far deeper than Americans know?
I would say Americans are quite far down a track of populist authoritarianism. And what we know from other countries is that once you've elected one, you tend to elect them again, in part because the media likes to cover them. And that's why I'm being so hard on the media. When I've looked at other countries, it's kind of like catnip. But of course, there's roles for everyone else. We need sensible Republicans to form a faction of their party that's strong enough to win. We need to have Democrats not pay money into the extremist faction in the hopes that they'll have easier candidates to beat. It's playing with fire. We need regular Americans to pay a little more attention to primary races. So many seats in America are safe that over 90% of House races are decided in the primary. So everyone needs to do a little bit more here.
Rachel Kleinfeld, Senior Fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.